"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com. I'm here with my good friend Deborah Mark.
Hey, Ken.
They forced me to read that.
Uh-huh. Well, I like it.
I am a hostage on this program.
You are my good friend, too.
Yeah,
I got
right.
The same note.
I'm not your buddy. John's your buddy. I know. You two like to steal away in the hallway and
why
talk.
Can't you? Why can't you be my buddy as well?
Yeah.
I can have more than one buddy here, you know.
Eric's your buddy, too, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I can have more than two.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, another keyword that you just enter at the website, KFIAM640.com. And when you go to KFIAM640.com, a big banner with handles head, inflation vacation drops down, and you enter the keyword, and you could be a winner of $1,000. We do it at 420. We'll do it again at 520. A lot to get to this hour, another story concerning LAPD and a lawsuit. We talked last hour about a lawsuit by the family of a man who was killed by a homeless guy in the Beverly Grove neighborhood of L.A. This hour, it's going to be about the LAPD officer who died a training accident. They just had a big funeral for him last week, which was pretty emotional. But there's a lawsuit against LAPD concerning his death. And it looks like LAPD had a response today. But we start with a story that broke last night. And it's another horrible, horrible situation. At least 48 bodies of migrants were found in the back of a tractor trailer on a road in San Antonio. We're going to bring on Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, who's covering the story and can give us more detail.
Hey there, Ken. Yeah, and the number's been going up today. First, went up to 50, now up to 51 migrants who have died, who were in the back of the big rig. And Homeland Security and ICE, they just sent over a statement right now confirming Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras is where the victims so far that they know that they were from. But it was a refrigerated truck, no working cooling in it, no air holes, no water in the back, and began as a call that came in as somebody who saw a body in the road, heard cries for help, called 911. Firefighters arrived believing it was going to be somebody who was down having a medical emergency, and then they opened up the back of the big rig, and it described, the fire chief called it, stacks of bodies who were back there, and he just told us this a few minutes ago.
Those people suffered. The heat was torrential. There was no air in that vehicle. There was no water. The AC was not running.
All the dead at that time, 46, they were all adults, and then there were 16 more, some of them who have since died, who they found adults and children barely alive. They were gasping for air. They were suffering from heat stroke. And the way that some of the emergency responders put it today, even the survivors were close to death in that moment. And basically in the heat, 103 degrees outside, think of your car in weather like that, put 100 people in there with you. And basically, not to get too gruesome, but it was described to us by the rescuers that their internal organs were cooking in that moment. Listen to the radio call when firefighters got there. Broadcastify, they open up the back, and here's what they found.
We're going to start sorting through the ones that are currently breathing. None of them are able to talk as of yet, but we do have a lot of snoring respirations. I can count at least 10 that have snoring respirations.
Snoring respirations. They sounded like they were snoring because they were on the verge of death and then barely breathing and not breathing very well. And they found other bodies nearby the truck, people who escaped somehow and tried to crawl out and then died there. So this has immediately become a federal investigation, HSI, Homeland Security investigation. They're working it today. Three people were taken into custody and a few other details that we just got. The police chief telling us today that one of the three they believe is the driver who was seen running away, and they got 911 calls and then they went and arrested him, and now he's in federal custody. The other two, we don't know their relation to it. And one last part of this, and we had heard rumors of this, but the fire chief says, yes, the smell of meat tenderizer was so strong when they went in there. They believe the suspects put meat tenderizer on the bodies to try to bring down the smell of those bodies before they ran away. And they say even 24 hours later, that smell of meat tenderizer so strong that they think maybe that truck had meat tenderizer because they had been carrying meat before, and they're assuming that. But it appears that they sprinkled or poured meat tenderizer on those bodies, hoping that would cover up the smell and they'd have a little more time to get away.
But including the people that were still alive in there?
Yeah. I mean, apparently it was just kind of put on the whole group. They were barely alive. They weren't moving. They couldn't communicate. They couldn't do a whole lot. And right now, HSI, they don't know, one, how long they had been in there. None of the victims can speak who are alive, and there aren't many of them anymore. And they don't know, really, was the refrigerator ever working in the back? Did the driver go back? Was the door ajar, which allowed some people to crawl out and then die? But was the door ajar because did the driver notice something wasn't right, pull over on the rural road, and then open up the back, freak out, put meat tenderizer on everybody, and then run away? Seems like the most likely scenario, but they really don't know. This is the mayor of San Antonio tonight.
We are dealing with a horrific human tragedy. So I would urge you all to think compassionately and pray for the deceased, the ailing, the families.
So again, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and even if they do have the driver, typically in these cases, a driver was hired to drive across the border. That they're not the ones organizing it. They're not the smuggling organization, but maybe they can then begin, HSI can begin to try to trace it back. But a lot of this probably, a lot of the people involved will be on the Mexico side. This has happened before, 2017. 10 died, found in the back of a big rig at a Walmart parking lot in San Antonio. 2003, 18 died, found in the back of a truck. But this one we now know is the deadliest human smuggling operation in U.S. history. We've never had a number this high. Right now, 51, and been going up. It may go up more.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a story which says there could have been as many as 100 people in there.
Yeah.
There are so many questions, too, but I'm sure we don't have the answers yet. How long was this trip? How long were they stuffed in there trying to drive into the U.S.?
Don't know yet. They think that they had been in there for a number of hours, but because there were some people still kind of alive, that it hadn't been overly long, maybe a number of hours, how quickly you would run out of air in a box with no airflow, no vents of any kind. It was sealed because it was made to be a refrigerated truck, so it sealed up to stay cold, like being in a freezer, but the refrigerant didn't work. The fire chief said today that prayer cards were all over the ground in Spanish in the trailer when they found it, and they don't know. There's a lot that they want to figure out. This immediately became political. Governor Abbott, before they had even announced how many were found or that they had found any bodies in there, he used his unofficial Twitter account to tweet out an article, I believe the Daily Mail. It was from some news organization blaming Biden for open borders. Immediately, his critics said, one, if the borders were open, why were they hiding in the back of a truck? And two, that, you know, you always hear the we've had after a mass shooting too soon, people have died. Hold on, that people are grieving. And his critics were saying, look, they haven't even made the announcement yet. And it was being made political. But both sides are jumping on this, saying that this is a failure of the border for one reason or the other, depending on what side you come down on. And they've been going after each other today. So immediately it has gone political, but still a lot. They don't know. We don't know. And HSI will be trying to figure that out.
Well, and as you gave us the rundown, this has happened with different presidents and different immigration policies. This is nothing new where, unfortunately, we find dead people in a truck trying to get into the...
Yeah, I mean, this is a fairly, unfortunately, fairly common way. In fact, let me grab the release they sent us a little while ago. The Department of Justice announced maybe 2 hours ago, a Houston truck driver today admitted in court in April that he came over the border. They say that when he was stopped at the checkpoint driving in, that his face turned pale, his eyes became glossy, he sunk down into his seat. They asked him, what's in the big rig trailer? He shrugged his shoulders and mumbled, I don't know. They looked in there, and he had 145 people in there on April 15th, mostly from Mexico, 49 from Guatemala, 5 from Honduras, 3 from El Salvador, 2 from Ecuador. So he's 73 years old, by the way, that driver, and was driving in. If he's found, well, he's already pled guilty what he was doing today, but when he's sentenced 20 years in federal prison, the max of what he could get, $250,000 fine. So it does happen, and it's happened in history. Luckily, this one, they found them. Nobody died, the one in April, but the one last night, 51 dead, and the number going up.
And you said 3 people have been detained. They were just involved in the operation. They weren't the
actual... Yeah, we don't know their involvement yet. They're not technically arrested, at least at last update. One, the driver, likely is. The other two, the police chief said that they may or may not have been involved. They were trying to figure that out. Maybe they were running away from it. Maybe they were with the driver. But the feds will figure that out. Police handed them over. And what their involvement was, we don't know.
All right, Alex, thank you for that report.
You got it. Thanks, Ken.
All right, Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about it's now 51 dead migrants found in the back of a tractor trailer in San Antonio, Texas. I'll talk a bit more about what he mentioned, the steak seasoning that they apparently spread over the people in the back of this truck, dead or alive, to try to mask the odor, which is hard to believe. And another aspect of this truck, which is worth mentioning, and then the battle between the governor of Texas and Joe Biden over whose fault this is. John and Ken show. Oh, as soon as I come back, chance for you to win some money with the keyword. KFI AM 640. Biden, as you know, is in Europe meeting with the G7 leaders. Tonight, of course, like all presidents like to do, it's a big gala with the Spain's royal family, King Philippe. And apparently old Joe made a joke that we both married way above our station, he said to the Spain's King Philippe, and says, I may not go back to America, joking about his horrible polling numbers. We were talking to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about what was discovered last night in San Antonio, Texas, at least, and they're still releasing numbers. It started somewhere in the 40s, but now it's 51 migrants dead. They were stuffed in the back of a tractor trailer. It was supposedly a refrigeration truck. So there may have been over 100 people in there. I guess there are some survivors. It's a big human smuggling tragedy. The report he mentioned, which is worth going over because it's hard to believe, but it seems that the drivers of this truck must have realized something wasn't right. The refrigeration component in the back wasn't working. There were no windows. These people basically died of heat stroke. So they pulled over, and then they realized there was so much death in there, and they didn't want it to necessarily be discovered immediately. They sprinkled steak seasoning all over the victims in the truck, dead or alive. Is this in the playbook for human smuggling? This is what you're supposed to do? It says that eventually, and as we said, there was a call made to police by someone who must have staggered out of the truck and was found in the road. The other part of this, which is worth mentioning, they took this truck and they cloned it from an actual registered truck company to make it evade detection. So basically what they did was the owner of a local Alamo-based trucking company told the San Antonio Express News that they painted it to match one of his own trucks, right down to copying the legal vehicle's Department of Transportation registration number. So they must have gone to the yard where this guy keeps his trucks and took photos, and then they just reproduced everything they could to make this truck look legit. Our reefer refrigerated trailer is sitting right in the yard, he said. That one in San Antonio is not our trailer. The truck in San Antonio was made to look like a real refrigerated truck, but there was no visible working AC unit on the rig. And as I talked about with Alex, first the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, said this is a result of Biden's open door policies. Biden, I guess from Europe, shot back that this is nothing but grandstanding. But here's the truth. This is going to happen no matter who's president, no matter whose border policies, because there's a lot of people from Mexico and Central American countries and even South American countries and even Haiti and even beyond that. We see some people from Russia and also Ukraine coming here. They're desperate to get into the United States. As much as people hate the country right now because of guns and Roe versus Wade, there are many, many millions of people around the world who want to get here and are desperate to get here. What Trump tried to do was tamp down the response, but what Biden's done, millions have been encountered at the border since he's been president, because the message goes loud and clear around the world that things have changed, that Trump's clampdown on migration is over. We have a new president. This president is more welcoming and accommodating to the world's migration, so come here. And yeah, this means that some will come to the border and ask for asylum, and that counts in the encounter numbers. Others just walk into the country illegally or smuggled in here by the coyotes. But then you have this method using trucks disguised as legitimate commercial businesses. And while that's happened, no matter who's been president, this is the worst one ever. And these smugglers can make money. So basically the pitch is, all right, if I get you into the U.S. with this president, don't worry. You won't be rounded up and deported. He's basically standing down on doing anything like that. So just pay us. You don't have to go the rigmarole with applying for asylum or being turned away because of Title 42 or some other policy that they have at the border. I'll sneak you in. I'll get you in there in a truck, and it'll be safe, and it'll be quick. And that's how they're recruiting people. Apparently, the Biden administration just announced, because there was another federal court that ruled that as far as deportation is concerned, he can't just stand down. He can't say what Obama said years ago. I'm only going to deport the worst of the worst, violent, criminal, illegal aliens. And a judge said, well, that's not really what's in the law when it comes to deportation and what Congress has authorized. So the Biden administration did just announce that they will stand down on that policy of limited deportations. But believe me, the truth is the message is clear all over the world that this is a new regime, a new president, and there's a really good chance if we can get into America, you'll never have to leave. All right, coming up next, Steve Gregory is going to be on the show. The LAPD chief, Michael Moore, made some statements, a bit unusual considering it involves a lawsuit. An LAPD officer died. He suffered a spinal cord injury while he was training with other cops last month at the police academy. His name was Houston Tipping. And there was a very dramatic, emotional funeral for him late last week. But not long after that, his mother has filed a wrongful death suit against LAPD, claiming that the son was beaten And Moore had something to say about that. John and Ken show on KFI. And you're not going to believe this story. Coming up after 5 o'clock, I have an opportunity to talk to the sheriff of Tulare County, Mike Boudreau, who is going to tell us the story of how a couple of drug traffickers who were caught with 150,000 fentanyl pills have been released. That's right. They were arrested for the possession of the pills. They were released. The sheriff doesn't even know about it. He didn't know about it. He knows about it now. He's going to talk about it. These two guys came from the state of Washington, released on their own recognizance. I don't think there's a pretty good chance you may not see them again. But anyway, we'll talk to the sheriff after the news at 5 o'clock. And next hour, one last chance today to possibly win $1,000 with the keyword that you enter at the website for a chance at the money. Yesterday, during the show, I had an opportunity to talk to the attorney for a woman by the name of Shirley Huffman. It's a wrongful death claim concerning the death of her son, Officer Houston Tipping. The 32-year-old man died after suffering a spinal cord injury while he was training with other officers last month. This is at the police academy in Elysian Park. The wrongful death suit says that this was some sort of a simulation of a mob exercise where not only did he suffer spinal cord injuries, but the family is claiming he was beaten pretty badly. Today, there was an unusual development because originally LAPD is like, well, we don't comment on lawsuits that are in process. But LAPD Chief Michael Moore did. Steve Gregory is going to come on and talk about what he said concerning this lawsuit. Steve.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ken. It is very unusual for the department to comment on a claim that's just been filed, especially a wrongful death claim. But the chief said today, and these were comments he made to the police commission's weekly meeting this morning, and these are comments he made about the case. He kind of started out by saying he appreciated everyone showing up to the memorial last Friday for Officer Tipping, and then he sort of went into this sort of preamble about the fact that he doesn't normally comment on these things, but because of the media attention, and he specifically said because of details released by Tipping's mother, he felt compelled, in the interest of public transparency, he felt compelled to come forward and make a couple comments.
His death occurred as a result, as you are aware, of an accident that occurred at Elysian Park during a training class in which he was an instructor. And in the immediate aftermath of that, I directed Commander Steve Lurie of the Office of Constitutional Policing and Policy to conduct a comprehensive investigation into the accident, including recorded interviews of everyone present. That investigation is also reviewing the training course itself, including the curriculum, its history, safety precautions, and other course requirements established by the California Peace Officers Standards and Training, also known as POST.
And then he went into exactly the types of injuries that Tipping received. And this is what made it unusual, because he's giving factual information that usually they never give this early in an investigation.
Briefly, I've reviewed the points identified. Officer Tipping did not sustain any laceration to the head, any cut or otherwise to his head, when he and another officer during a training exercise fell to the ground.
And as you mentioned, I did listen to the interview also with Bradley Gage yesterday. We used it in some of the KFI news pieces. And, you know, he was pretty graphic about it. I remember him saying at least 3 vertebrae were broken. And
yeah, punctured lung, punctured liver damage, lungs, broken liver, ribs.
Yeah, the whole 9 yards. So the chief goes on to add to this.
Officer Tipping was also not struck or beaten during this training session. He did grab or grapple with another officer and both fell to the ground, resulting in a catastrophic injury to his spinal cord.
And there you have it. And that's the chief's response to the reports that have come out now with Houston Tipping's mother.
Well, isn't there an autopsy that would settle this?
Sure. And presumably that will happen pretty soon. And it'll end up having a security hold on it because it'll be under investigation. Now, Steve Lurie, Commander Steve Lurie from the LAPD, if it goes to that level for investigation, then they know how important this is. Office of Constitutional Policing is an important part of the LAPD, as is it with any department. But so this is going to be a very sensitive topic and issue. And I did, again, hear Bradley Gage's claim yesterday, and they are starkly different than what you heard the chief just talk about.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because I know you have connections with the police. Can you even imagine what this training was? Simulate a mob, or do you have any idea what they were doing?
Yeah. So if it's the training I'm aware of, it's called Mobile Field Force Training, and what they do is they solicit sometimes cadets or other officers to play the role of protesters, and then you've got the trainees, and then what they do is they have to engage amongst each other. And then the whole idea is crowd control, crowd management, when to deploy less lethal rounds, when to deploy lethal rounds if necessary, whatever the case is.
Right.
But it is basically a mob riot scene, a scenario that's set up to simulate kind of what happened over this past weekend and what happened in Echo Park. But so this is a very common training, especially LAPD, because this market.
But don't they simulate, as you said? Do they actually like throw each other to the ground?
Now,
and in this case, they're making it sound like they beat on Officer Tipping.
Now, I have seen some of this types of training before, and in some cases, because the trainees now, they're going to have all their safety equipment on. And keep in mind, Tipping was an instructor. So I'm not sure where he was at and what his role would have been during this scenario. But I have seen before where the officers playing the role of protesters will get aggressive and they will get physical. They'll push back. They'll throw things because they know that the trainees are holding the shields and they've got their helmets on. They've got their protective gear on. Again, it had nothing to do, according to the chief and from what I've seen, with like throwing projectiles or pushing back. It looks as though when they grappled and maybe a trainee was trying to effect an arrest, maybe Tipping was playing the role of a protester, is what it sounded like to me, perhaps, and that then during that grappling and they went to the ground, Tipping, may have landed incorrectly or, freak accident. But yeah, I have seen these trainings before, and the idea is you have to sort of push it up to the ledge, but I have personally never seen any of the training. I've observed three of these mobile field force training scenarios. I've never seen them go sideways before.
And you said they do wear like safety equipment to
sure.
insulate themselves
the
from maybe bad do. Injuries. Yeah,
mm-hmm. The ones I have observed in this particular mobile field force training have always worn their protective gear.
Do you think somebody just got carried away?
I can't speculate, Ken.
I know. Maybe Tipping was too good at playing a protester or a police
or
officer or whatever
versa,
he was doing.
Whatever
right.
he was doing, yeah. And I'm sure we'll get more now that the chief is starting to sort of counter the narrative a bit. Maybe we'll get more detail. And now that this has come back up to the surface, I'm going to dig a little bit more to find out a little more if I can.
And I asked Bradley Gage yesterday about a video. Apparently Moore is saying there is no video of this incident, not yet. Don't they record these training sessions?
Not necessarily, because there's so many different training scenarios going on every day. I mean, and if you've got an academy class going on, there's multiple classes and trainings going on constantly. It's just not feasible to be videotaping all this stuff. There's really nothing to benefit from it because you have instructors right there on the scene to give real-time feedback. So there really isn't a need to videotape per se. There might be instances where they'll go over video of some scenarios of stuff or case studies, but I've never known them to sit and record all this stuff, and they don't wear body-worn cameras in training. Now, maybe that'll be something that comes out of this because,
right.
I guarantee you there will be changes as a result of this accident.
Yeah, that's what Moore is saying. We're going to review our training procedures.
Right, and then the commission, after, because this little segment of what Moore talked about was part of a bigger presentation that he gives every week. And then when they go back and then all the commissioners have their questions, and at least two of them in there wanted more detail about this, and they wanted, the training to be put under close scrutiny to find out if this can be prevented in the future.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot.
You got it, man.
All right, Steve Gregory, KFI News, on the update on the LAPD officer who died during a training session suffering spinal cord injuries. His mother has hired an attorney with a wrongful death lawsuit contending that it was more than just grappling and falling to the ground and hurting his spinal cord, that it looked like he was badly beaten. LAPD Chief Michael Moore told the police commission that that's not what happened, but we'll have to see as the case plays out. More coming up on the John and Ken Show here on KFI. I'm going to start next hour by talking to the sheriff of Tulare County up in Northern California. He is outraged because two men who were arrested for possessing 150,000 fentanyl pills were released without his knowledge. It also appears from the story that the DA didn't know either. We'll have to find out how this happened and more detail on the story. These guys were from the state of Washington And apparently they were pulled over and found to have all these pills in their car. And fentanyl, man, that is not good. Seems like every couple of years another drug comes along to really up the seriousness of the whole drug problem. And fentanyl's the latest because it's cheap and it can be very deadly. So we'll talk to the sheriff right after the news at 5 o'clock. So tomorrow during the show, if Deborah Mark walks out, I'll just have to say, oh, well.
What do you mean?
Tomorrow's supposed to be the day of action to protest the Roe v. Wade decision.
Oh, okay. All right, so you'll be okay with me just walking out?
If that's what you want to do to exercise your, you know, right to free speech and right to join protest, what can I do?
That's true. You really can't do anything. But, you know, as a news person, I'm not going to comment on any of that. But I'll just tell you that I will be here tomorrow doing my
job. You're not going to walk out. Is that what you're saying right now?
I'm not going to walk out.
You can't be talked into it.
Well, no, I have a job to do.
Yeah, I wonder how much of this. I mean, a lot of the media, particularly El Segundo Times, likes to talk to these protesters and activists. We have watched since Friday the number of people showing up in the streets dwindle. I think yesterday it was only a few hundred in downtown LA. But one of the groups is calling on people to walk out of their workplace to show the ones that made this decision that if we are not granted our basic human rights, we will not continue to let this society function. Of course, I mentioned yesterday, other activist groups are calling on women to withhold sex from men.
Oh,
unless,
right.
I know. Unless they want to become pregnant, which isn't a problem for you because your husband's sick.
That's right. Yeah, I'm staying away. So I don't have to worry about sex for now.
Yeah, the Times mentioned at the end of this story covering the protests yesterday, it was just a few hundred people there. So this movement, like a lot of things in America, people are worked up for a few days and then they move on with their lives. A couple of interesting things have happened on the abortion front. Texas is one place that, well, would love to severely restrict abortions. But a judge there today blocked officials from enforcing a nearly century-old ban that the state's Republican attorney general said was back into effect after that U.S. Supreme Court decision. It's a temporary restraining order by a judge by the name of Christine Weems in Harris County, which is where Houston is, big cities. And apparently it was a last-ditch bid by abortion providers to resume services after that Supreme Court decision. You see, for now, and in Texas, abortion is severely restricted. It's only allowed up to 6 weeks of pregnancy. That law took effect in September, and the U.S. Supreme Court declined to block it. So with the Roe v. Wade decision on Friday, Texas is one of those states that enacted its trigger laws. These are laws that were designed to take effect, and they were ready for the day Roe v. Wade was overturned. That means they can trigger these laws which severely restrict anybody from getting abortions. So 13 states like Texas did this, and apparently the people that want women to get abortions in Texas found the right judge. I think this also happened in Louisiana. It's a kind of an odd development, particularly in states that are gung-ho to limit abortion. But they were able to find a judge that at least is temporarily, because one of the activists is saying in this news story, well, you know, any hour, any day where we can continue to provide people with abortions is a victory, even if this gets overturned pretty quickly. Apparently judges in Louisiana and Utah also blocked officials from enforcing their state's trigger bans. And abortion providers in Idaho, Kentucky, and Mississippi are looking to do the same thing. So even where you think you see these red states, these more religious states, which severely are against women aborting fetuses, you do have within there bigger cities and judges. And it just goes to show you that so much of this is subjective. Especially when you're dealing with something that's not specifically protected in the Constitution, which is someone's right to abortion. Now, we're going to talk next hour about dippity-doo. Governor Gavin Newsom has really stepped it up. He was quick on the Uvalde shooting to really denounce guns, Now he has decided that with this decision from the Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade, this is the next thing he'll glom onto. So he would like to make California a sanctuary state for abortions. In fact, the way the story's written, it looks like abortion tourism will be welcomed in California. Isn't that a nice thing? Is that a good advertising campaign? Come here for your abortion. We welcome you. It's really rather disgusting that this guy's out in front. He also apparently has taken ads out in the state of Florida because, again, in 2024, if Biden doesn't run, Newsom believes there's an opening, and he believes his opponent might be the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis. So he's using every opportunity he can to compare the two states, but now he's gone so far as to actually take ads out in the state of Florida. We'll see what's in them coming up. And a celebrity, a big celebrity, has called out Newsom on the homeless. This is all coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But we begin by talking to a sheriff from up north in Tulare County about these two men who were nabbed with 150,000 fentanyl pills. And they've already been released on their own recognizance. Hard to believe, but that's California's criminal justice system these days. All right, Deborah Mark has the news now. KFI AM 640.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.